Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. We hope today's message encourages you and strengthens your walk with God. Enjoy the message.
If you have your booklet, turn with me to week 6. We're talking about this today, righteousness and justice. Righteousness and justice. Let's read the summary that we find in the syllabus, and then we're going to turn to Luke 18. It says this: God is both just and righteous. Somebody say, he's both. It's not either or. It's not if, then, no, it is, he is both just and righteous. These two concepts are so closely connected that they cannot be separated from God's character. Psalm 89 verse 14 declares, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Both righteousness and justice are tied to God's judgment into his role as the great judge. You can remain standing. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke 18. Anybody bring their physical Bible with them today? Praise God. That's another crown in heaven right there. You don't even know. I'm just kidding. If you don't have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn your attention to the screens. We got the Bible on the screen. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. Anybody ready for the word of God today? And I like to say it like this. If nothing else I say is good, this will be good, because it's God's word. The scripture says the grass withers, the flower fades, but it's God's word that will stand forever. And I pray that as we open up our hearts to receive today, God would do a deeper work through his word, through his spirit. It says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should sometimes pray and give up when they feel like it. All right, here we go. Sorry, that's what preachers do sometimes. We just want to make sure you're listening. It says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story, it doesn't say that, to show that they should always pray and never give up. Oh, come on, that's one thing you can never do, and that is give up. The scripture even says, do not grow weary in good doing, for in due season you will reap a harvest, but it has a contingency. If you do not what? Do not give up. We may make mistakes. We may have feelings. We may fall. But when you fall, I've heard it said before like this, fall forward and get up and never give up. Always trust in God. This isn't in my notes. Somebody needs to hear that today. Oh, come on. Who knows? We're never going to give up. God's never given up on us. We're never going to give up on him. It says, there was a judge in a certain city. He said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. So think about that. There's a judge. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't care about people. And it says a widow. Can somebody say a widow? A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. Somebody say justice. She wanted justice. She was done wrong. It doesn't say what exactly happened. This is a story that Jesus just gives. But this actually could have been an actual reality. Things that could have happened during this day and age. We're just like we have trials and there's judges today. There were trials and judges back then. And Jesus gives this example. And it says, the judge ignored her for a while. But finally, he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. Men, keep your eyes forward right now. I'm gonna see that she gets justice. Somebody say justice. Because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Come on, if your kids ever asked you something and they keep on asking you, give me that, mom, let me go here. You know, they ask you, and eventually you just wanna either get the chancla out or give into it. He gave into it. Then the Lord said this, listen, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think, turn to the person next to you and say, don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, oh, who knows, Jesus is coming back one day. how many will you find on the earth who have faith? We're talking about righteousness and justice today, but if you like your sermon titles a little bit spicy, you can write this down. This is the subtitle for today's talk. We're talking about this, justice, but justice for all. Justice for all. Can somebody say justice for all? You do know you serve a God of justice, right? You know you serve a God that is not disconnected, and he is not just up in heaven, far away, not caring about the affairs of men, but you serve a God that cares, and he is a God of justice. Let's pray together right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for today. God, I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing. God, we just pray that we would open up our hearts to receive, Lord. I'm just the messenger, God. Your word has the power, Lord, to divide soul and spirit. Your word is the seed. Our heart is the soil. So have your way today in Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, go ahead and give God some praise in this place. Oh, come on, go ahead and worship Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of reading God's words. Can somebody say this with me? Justice for all. Justice for all. Now, this statement may sound familiar to you, and I hope that it does, because many of us grew up reciting this statement at school. Even to this day, when we go to different events and games, it starts off with the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, come on, somebody. Anybody know the Pledge of Allegiance? Can we say it together right now? I know maybe feel awkward not having a flag or something, right? But you have your hand on your chest, and we say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, I feel like we're back at school, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Liberty and justice for all. You know what that speaks of? I think that's a powerful statement to end it with, right? Talking about liberty. In other words, it's this whole idea that everyone, no matter who they are or what their demographic or upbringing is, that in our nation, we want to make sure that there's equality, that there's fairness, and that it doesn't matter if who was done wrong, we want to make sure that justice prevails. Who believes that in justice in this place? Who believes in the power of justice? I think it's biblical as well. But did you know that that Pledge of Allegiance was actually crafted and written by a Baptist preacher in the year 1892? And it was a preacher that had some patriotism that came, and he put this together, and it was actually published on an article, on a paper. And then it just caught like wildfire, and eventually, you know, we even say it to this day. And did you know it wasn't until 1954 that those two words, under God, were put into the Pledge of Allegiance? And if you want to do a study yourself, you can, but it was actually President Dwight Eisenhower, during the Cold War that was taking place, he said, and he brought it before the Congress, and they voted for it, and they ended up passing it to put under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, because during the Cold War, there was a lot of tension and everything with the Iron Curtain and Russia and atheistic beliefs and communism. And what they wanted to do for the United States of America is they wanted to distinguish the United States of America as a nation under God that was rooted and established on biblical values and biblical beliefs in order to set them apart. So it wasn't originally in, under God wasn't originally in the Pledge of Allegiance, which is why many people even to this day are protesting and petitioning, and they're getting papers signed, trying to take out under God from the Pledge of Allegiance. They're trying to separate God from justice in the Pledge of Allegiance. And whether that happens or not, because, you know, some people ask, they say, well, is America a Christian nation? I think that's up to debate. I don't know if we would consider at this point our nation a Christian nation. And don't be confused, because some people think that Jesus is coming back for America. Let me tell you, Jesus is not coming back for America. Jesus is coming back for his church. Jesus is coming back for his bride. Jesus is coming back for his people. We should care for other people. We should care for the lost. But Jesus is coming back for his church. And whether they take out God's name from the Pledge of Allegiance, let me tell you what they will never, and what people, and what the devil, and it don't matter who it may be, let me tell you one thing that you and I and the enemy can never separate from one another, and that is God and justice. You cannot separate. In fact, your God, he is described in Scripture as a God of justice. Just like God is righteous, guess what? God is justice. He is righteous, and he had just like, for example, just like how you can't separate lightning from thunder, salt from pepper, or peanut butter and jelly. Here we go. Getting to somebody's practical level right now. You can't think of one without thinking of the other. Can I tell you? The same is true when it comes to God and when it comes to justice. In fact, it is so ingrained, this idea of justice, it is so ingrained into the character of God that it is impossible for him to carry out any type of injustice or for him to do something that isn't just. It was said by A.W. Tozer like this, a theologian, a scholar. He said it like this. He said that justice is not just something that God has. Justice is who God is. In other words, you can't separate God from justice. And there's so much scripture to back up what I'm saying right here. I want to go over a few real quick. I want you to feel free to write these down or just retain them, remember them. In Psalm chapter 89, verse 14, it says this: righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Oh, come on. That says foundation. Who knows? Before you build a home, that home's not going to stand if there's no foundation. It's not going to last. Who knows? Come on. You ever had dealt with a bad foundation? Come on. I'm a realtor, and I go to different houses, and I look at different foundations, and we talk to inspectors, and by the foundation being off, it can cause the simple things like the door from being able to be opened. A bad or cracked foundation. You know, the scripture even talks about how justice and righteousness should be the foundation of a nation. And whenever there is no strong foundation, it's going to fall. And God says right here, and it says in Psalm, that righteousness and justice are the foundation of my throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 says, he is the rock. It's like a foundation. His work is perfect, for all his ways are what? Three people got it. All his ways are what? Justice. A God of truth and without what? Injustice. Righteous and upright is he. This is so important for us to get a hold of right here, because I don't know how you view God. I don't know how you see God. Some people see God as just an entity and being that is just up in heaven, detached from everything that's going on. A God that just set things in motion. He said it and he forgot about it, and he just lets things be, and there's all this evil and corruption. And some people think, oh, that doesn't affect God. No, your God is a God of justice. Psalm 33 verse 5 says, his love, he loves righteousness. Somebody say, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the land. Psalm 103 verse 6 says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Because I want you to get this. God isn't just a king. God is also a judge. When he sits on his throne, in fact, the book of Job talks about the devil, the enemy, coming to the courts of heaven and standing before God and trying to bring Job before God and say, God, the only reason Job loves you is because he's so blessed. The only reason that Job likes you is because he has everything going for him. Why don't you take away these things? Let's see where his heart really is at. And Job goes through all these different trials and these tests. God's hand backs away for a second, but during that time, Job still, yes, he had questions. Yes, he was going through frustration. Even the people around him were coming against him, but he still chose to trust in the Lord, and he prayed a prayer at one time. He said, God, if there was only a mediator, if there was only a connection, I feel so disconnected and far away from you, God. If only there was a person that can stand on my behalf and stand before your throne and plead my case. Let me tell you, that was pointing to Jesus, who is our great high priest. He is the mediator. There is only one mediator between man and God, and that is Christ Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. Is anybody thankful for Jesus? That wasn't in my notes. I don't know who needed that, but let me tell you, you may feel disconnected, you may feel far, but to have a relationship with Jesus is to have a relationship with God. He is God in flesh. He loves you, and he cares, and he loves righteousness and justice. Isaiah 30 verse 18 says, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Now you may be asking yourself, what is justice? What does justice even mean? Because there's so many different concepts and ideas and theories for justice. And I don't know if you've noticed, it seems like we live in a world full of social justice warriors on social media that have their opinion. Why? Because everyone, you have to ask yourself this question, right? Because justice deals with making things right, setting things right. But the question is now, what is right? What is wrong? What is good? What is evil? And so many people have these ideas of what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. And they bring these things and they say these things. And you have to be very careful, y'all. Because the scripture even says that in the last days, men will call evil things good and good things evil, and things will get messed up. So let me tell you where true justice is found. It's found in God's word, and it's found in who God is. So when God says something is good, it's good. When God says something is bad, it's bad. When God says something is evil and wicked, you know it's evil. When God says that it is right, it is right. We have to have a proper foundation. We have to have a proper perspective. We have to trust and rely and know in God. Because let me give you a simple definition for what justice is. Simply put, you can say justice is this, right? Feel free to write this down. Justice is all about setting and making things right. Justice, setting and making things, somebody say, right. That should be an encouragement, because here's the thing about God. You know what God is committed to? You know what God has been doing from the beginning? You know what God does from ruling and reigning, and what he will continue to do? God is committed to making things right. Yeah, let me go step. Even things that weren't his fault to begin with. Come on, have you ever been like told to do something or you're like, that's not my fault, I'm not getting involved in that? They did that. Even things that the devil did, even things that the enemy did, things other people have done. Let me go a step further. Even the things that you and I have done, the mistakes, the mess ups, the shortcomings, God is a God of justice. And guess what? One day, every human being will stand before the Lord, who is a good and holy and righteous God, and we will not be able to hide anything. We will not be able to manipulate and swerve ourselves out of this situation. The scripture says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You serve a God of justice. Okay, I know some of you got tight right now. I know, like Pastor Alex said, it's tight, but it's right, okay? Because some of you may be saying, well, you know, if God's a God of justice, I'm going to have to answer for all these things. And you know, let me tell you, the justice of God should not put fear. It should have a healthy fear. You shouldn't be afraid of God, but it should be an encouragement for you. You want to know why? Because that means that you can go through this life not being so caught up and concerned with getting payback and getting even. See, some of us, we're staying up late at night because we are facing an injustice or somebody has done us wrong, and we're caught up with all these things taking place in the world, and we're planning things. We're going to get back. We're gonna get even, and we're not giving it to the Lord, and we're putting everything on ourselves, and we're holding bitterness, and we're holding unforgiveness, and we're not giving it to God. But let me tell you about revenge. Let me tell you about righteous revenge, because God even said it himself. He said, vengeance belongs to me. That's in New Testament. God said, vengeance belongs to me. But let me tell you, anybody want to know how to get righteous revenge? Oh, come on, somebody. I said, you can get revenge in a righteous way. Let me tell you how to do it. One word, forgive. Forgive. You know, the scripture even says when you do good to enemies, you do good. It's like almost putting hot coals on somebody's head. We're not doing it for that reason, but it just so happens, right? It's like Joseph, when he stood before his brothers, he said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. He had the right to kill them. Joseph had the right to put all his brothers into slavery and have them murdered because they sold him into slavery. But in that moment, I think the Spirit of God, God's perspective came in and said, no, let me show you a better way. Somebody say, there's a better way. There's a better way. Stop harboring unforgiveness. Stop harboring bitterness. Stop trying to get back. Because let me tell you, you can forgive but still seek justice. Hello. I'm going to say that one more time. You can forgive but still seek justice. I'm not saying somebody backs into your car. Okay, I'm not gonna get into it. I got into a first service. I'm gonna go another route. I make things personal sometimes. Somebody runs into your vehicle, right? And it's a hit and run. And there's evidence brought against them. And some people say, well, you're a Christian, just forgive. Let live, walk away. Is that justice? Is that accountability? Because here's the thing. Now it's another thing whenever I'd be like, well, you know, I'm angry, I'm upset. You can have righteous anger in a way, right? Or be like, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm bitter. I'm mean. God, I pray, strike fire and brimstone, Lord. No. We're going to get into that in a second, too, because we have to be careful not to pray our judgment, but rather we need to pray God's justice, because our judgment isn't always justice. And if we're not careful by praying our judgment, we can actually be practicing witchcraft, the scripture says, and rebellion. We need to have a right perspective and a right heart when we pray. I know that's deep right there, but it's very true. Some Christians are practicing witchcraft, and they don't even realize it because their heart isn't right. And they have humbled themselves before God. So you know what I did? I went through the right channels. I forgave. Reached out, said, hey, I forgive you. But we still got to work this out. Give me that insurance. We got, why? Because we can forgive. Oh, Lord, forgive me, Lord Jesus. Well, you can forgive, but you can still seek justice. Micah 6:8 says it like this. I want you to get this. It says to do, this is speaking to us. Somebody say, do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly before God. that you don't have to walk through a state of unforgiveness and bitterness. But guess what? You can know that you serve a God who sees and knows all things. He is a good judge. He will come on, somebody. He will take care of it. And God's word says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that he works all things. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, man, that's one of my favorite Bible verses. That your God works what? All things together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Let it go. Let it go. Because you're hurting yourself. I'm not saying not to. Okay, here we go. You can seek justice, but you need to forgive. God sees, because God has a way. Let me tell you, God's justice is better than man's judgments. I'm about to get into it here in a second, but we got to move on. It's making sense to somebody today. Come on, who's thankful you serve a God that's committed to making things right? Come on, that's what he's been doing. He's committed to making things right. That's what you see throughout all the Old Testament. That's what you see in the New Testament. That's what you see through the covenants, that God is committed. He said, I'm not giving up. I'm not losing hope. I could walk away. I could speak just. I can't walk away because I'm a God of justice. That's how much justice God is. He doesn't want to walk away, but he has to deal with it. Whether in this life or the life to come. Here's my first point I want to give you. Our sense for justice stems from the God of justice. Our sense for justice stems from the God of justice. I want you to think about this for a second. Similar to how you have received and inherited the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, you do realize that that sense of justice that you feel, that you have received and inherited that from God, your creator. Come on, has anybody ever felt this before? You see injustice and you see wrong and something stirs up on the inside of you. Something needs to be done. Do you think that just came from yourself? See, that's what makes us, and this is actually what people use even. People use the injustice that they see in the world as a way for them to say that God doesn't exist. And they will say, well, you know, you see all this injustice and evil in the world. How could there be a God in heaven if there's so much evil and injustice? But let me tell you, it's almost like their very argument against the existence of God is one of the greatest arguments for the existence of God. Because where are you getting this idea of what is right and what is wrong? What is evil and what is good? Is it possible that God, you made, because we're all made in the image of God, is it possible that God put those for you to discern and know even right? And feel this sense of justice that needs to take place, that your mind and moral compass to differentiate. This is what makes us unique as human beings, as being image bearers of God. And I believe that us as Christians, y'all, that as we grow and we become more like Christ and we are conformed more into the image of Christ, that this sense and this feeling for justice should grow on the inside of us. For us to, when we see things, for our heart to break and for us to have compassion. But here's a problem. You ready? We can be so inundated and surrounded by all the evil and all the injustice that we can become numb. We can get so many Amber Alerts on our phone. We can see so many ambulances pass us by where it becomes just a part of life. And we lose the compassion that God has ingrained in us, and we ration our compassion, and we suppress these things, and we don't pray. See, I love being with my mom in the car, y'all, because it's just a great reminder, because my mom is so compassionate. And my mom has such a heart even for the special needs, and she has a heart for the marginalized, and she has a heart for people that are oppressed. And that's why we have the cafe and the special needs ministry and all these things, because we care, because God cares. And when I'm with my mom in the car, y'all, I'll be honest, I'm just going through my day. I'm going to my next meeting. I'm going to my next appointment. An ambulance passes by. An Amber Alert passes on, pops up on my phone. And sometimes I can just whatever, throw it off. But my mom, when I'm around her, she says, Lord Jesus, I pray for them. I pray for wherever they're heading to. If somebody's hurt, if there's any injustice, if there's any wrong, if there's anything, God, I pray that your angels would cover them. God, I pray right now over that child right now that is facing that situation. Come on, I'm not saying you have to pray for an hour, but you say, God, I pray for that situation. I pray that justice would prevail. I pray that that child would be protected. Why? Because you care about it. See, you want to know what your calling is. You want to know what your mandate is. You want to know where God is leading you. Where are you noticing injustice? Pastor C just said it like this. He said, compassion is like a compass. Now, you may not be able to do everything. You can be very overwhelmed with the things of this world. I'm not saying for you to carry it all and think that you, but don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. Pray and bring it before God. But that sense of justice that you feel came from the God of justice. And I felt like another way of saying it like this is that human beings, we didn't invent justice, we inherited it. But even we can get it wrong. In other words, justice may be man's ideal, in other words, our desire and our want, but justice is originally God's idea. It's God's. Okay, some of you are saying, this is too complicated. This is too complex. I feel like I'm in a philosophical talk or whatever. Let me give you a better, maybe just a simpler example of what I'm trying to talk about. Here's my cute niece, Sayla, I want to show y'all real quick. Yeah, go ahead and let's play the video first. They got her a little kitchen set.
Look at you. I'm going to get you some fake food. Whoa, you have your own drawers. Look, those are yours. You can, There you go.
The next one's my they just got the piano in. Got it from the family. Do you think she learned that by herself? How do you think she learned how to do that? Do you think that they just randomly popped up that kitchen set and she's never seen a kitchen set before? She's never, you know what she does? She's been coming, she's only 15 months old, y'all. But she sees her mama do it. She sees her mama play the keys. She hears her mama play the keys at home. And when she's in front of it, something inside of her says, she does it, therefore I know how to do it. Oh, she sees mom put up the dishes and the pots and the pans, and that's her favorite thing to do right now. They lose things, they lose remotes, they check the drawers. I'm being serious. I don't have kids of my own yet, so I have to show you my niece, Sayla, for right now. The kids are great examples of this, y'all. She plays the piano, she plays the keys, she plays these things. She's not, you know, I understand. She isn't getting it all right, but do we get it all right? But where do you think, just like she learned that from her mother, let me tell you, we have things ingrained and put inside of us from our Heavenly Father that we have received. Stop restricting it. Stop saying, well, whatever, that's just what. God has put some things on your heart, some things to notice. And you serve a God that cares about justice. There's a scripture in Isaiah that talks about it like this. It says, seek justice, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow. And I pray that we grab a hold of this, y'all, that we never lose our compassion that we have, that even when we even see laws and legislation that are passed that deal with the abortion, I'm taking a right turn right now, but we gotta talk about this for a second. When we see laws and legislation that is passed that deals with the abortion, abortion and killing of unborn children, something on the inside of us should begin to be stirred up. Whenever we begin to see people that are disadvantaged, marginalized, and oppressed, when we see people and children going into getting put into sex trafficking and everything and being abused and being hurt, when we see widows and orphans beginning to struggle and hurt, something on the inside of us should begin to be moved by compassion. Why? Because if something moves the heart of God, shouldn't it move our heart as well? Should we feel something? See, the Bible talks all about it. It talks about orphans. It talks about widows. It talks about how God, it desires to bring justice to those that are oppressed. It comes from God. We can't forget about it, y'all. We have to have and pray, God, give me your heart. Give me your heart. You know, in this story that we read, we actually find a widow. I think it relates to this pretty well. Come on, is this making sense to somebody today? I pray you feel a stirring and an urgency in your spirit. I pray the Holy Spirit is stirring some things up. Let's not lose that. God is a God of justice. In this parable, we see Jesus give a story about a widow who, like we just talked about, had this sense and this desire and this urgency to see justice for her situation. I want to talk about this for a second, because in this parable, we see this unjust judge. Scripture says he doesn't have a fear for God. He doesn't care about people. Then we find a widow. The scripture doesn't say exactly what happened, what took place, what situation that she was in, but she wanted justice for her situation. In other words, she wanted justice to prevail. Now, here's the thing about this, and this is what's interesting to me, that Jesus gave this example in this way. You know, Jesus is so particular. He was so particular in this story because he says, a widow, you can't go any lower in society, maybe than lepers and stuff. During that time, one of the lowest people in the society that had virtually no influence would be a widow. And there would often even be cases, y'all, where there were judgments and things that were done where these people didn't get the justice they deserved. And this, first of all, she was at a disadvantage for multiple reasons. One of them being she was a woman. And during the first century, women were seen as, they didn't really measure up to men, they would consider them. And they didn't really have much of a voice. And on top of that, she was a widow, which means that she didn't have a husband to represent her and to speak on her behalf and whatever. So she didn't have much influence at all. But she kept on knocking. Oh, come on, somebody. She came, she said, I'm facing this injustice. I need justice. She came to the judge. Judge, give me justice. Lady, you're crazy. Get out of here. Okay. Next day. Judge, give me justice. Once again, I said, move. You know, get, no, you're, I don't care about you. I don't care about God. I don't care what other people think. Get away. Next day. Judge, get, and she kept on knocking. Come on. Come on, your kids ever just bug you, right? And eventually the judge, who wasn't even just, said, you know what? I'm just going to give her what she's asking for. Not out of conviction, not out of desiring justice, but out of annoyance. See, some people think that that's God, though. Some people think that that's the heart of God, but that was not what Jesus was trying to express and say. You know what Jesus was trying to express and say? He was trying to show, really, that's more of like the heart of men. He was saying, your God's not like that, though. When you pray and when you need justice, when you go to your Heavenly Father, He is not an unjust judge. He is a good, just judge. And He says, when His children come to Him and ask, don't give up, but God promises, and He says, He said, I will bring justice to my children. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody say, keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep going to God. Some of you may be going through some things. You may feel whatever it may be. Don't give up on God. Don't throw in the towel. Don't lose faith. Keep praying. Keep seeking Jesus. Keep on worshiping God. Keep on raising your hand. Keep on knowing that God is the judge, and he sees and he knows, and he will take care of it. The battle belongs to the Lord. You know, I'm reminding my sister Haley. Here's another example of this. My sister Haley, some of you may be aware of this, some of you may not. My oldest sister, the enemy, man, just really tried to attack my sister Haley, especially right after she graduated high school. She had lost her voice, and she was needing surgery on her voice. She couldn't even really sing on a Sunday. And when she was going to class that day in college, she was coming out of the campus, and this stranger ended up following her. Went and she got in her car. She felt this stranger approaching her from behind. She got in her car, shut the door. This person opened up the door, grabbed her, dragged her, tried to drag her through the parking lot. And my sister, she couldn't really say much of anything at all. All she could say was Jesus. And she said, Jesus. And she said that when she began to declare and speak that name. Oh, come on. Has anybody ever been in a situation where you don't know what else to say, but you call upon the name? And she said, Jesus, Jesus. His expression changed. Everything changed. He ended up giving up, walking away. But who knows? Situations like that demand justice. We can forgive, but we can pursue justice. Went through the proper channels and everything, y'all. And I kid you not, for nearly 2 years, next to nothing took place with that case and situation. My mom would go to the gas station and run into that individual. We would go to different places and see them, and we're like, God, where's the justice? And you can do one or two things in situations like that. You can say, God, you aren't real. God, you don't care. Or you can bring it before the Lord. You know what we did? We brought it before the Lord. We said, Lord, we're going to keep praying. We're going to keep believing. We're going to just trust in you, God, because you will take care of it. You are the judge. Y'all, I kid you not, as we did that, we get a phone call one day from somebody new that got on the case and said, we want to apologize for what took place. This should have been taken care of a long time ago. But I ran across your file on accident while this transition was taking place, and I saw this, and it was another lady. She said, I will make sure that you get the justice that you deserve. Justice prevailed. Things were taken care of, but don't give up. Don't lose faith. And I know that's an intense, crazy situation. I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know what you may be facing. For some of you, even in middle school or maybe in high school, or you're a teenager and you're facing even the thoughts and judgments of other people. Here's a second point I want to give you. It's this, that the justice of God outweighs the judgments of man. Worship, y'all go ahead and join me. We're about to come to a close. Come on, is anybody getting this word today? I pray you are. The justice of God outweighs the judgments of men. Because who knows? We can get it wrong. We can have all these systems. We can have all these laws. We can have all this legislation. We can have all these rules and things, but we can still get it wrong as human beings. And if we're not careful, y'all, we can live our lives based off of the judgments of men and forget about the justice of God. And I love this saying, it goes like this, that I would much rather stand with God and be judged by the world than to stand with the world and be judged by God. That I am not gonna live my life based off of the fear of what other people think. I'm gonna choose to live my life submitted to Christ and under the fear of God. I think one of the symbols that we use many times for justice is this right here, Lady Justice. Anybody ever seen this before? Anybody ever seen this before where It's actually, this statue is actually outside the Supreme Court, one of the highest courts in the world today. And the whole idea of this statue is this, is that as this lady is blindfolded and she has this scale, she cannot rely off of what she can see. She has to rely off of facts and evidence. So the whole idea, they call it the scales of justice. Like, for example, I won't forget, they asked this during my fifth grade year. They asked it on the intercom. They asked a random question every day to try to trip us up. And they said, what weighs more, a pound of feathers or a pound of stones? Guess what your homeboy said? The stones weigh more. But who knows? They don't weigh more. It's a pound of each. And even though it looks like one way on the outside, it's the same weight. And so the hope is this, that this kind of judgment and justice is also taking place inside the courthouse that this statue stands at. Let's be honest. And this isn't a political message or anything. That doesn't always happen. Man gets it wrong. But God cares about that. In fact, I want to show you three scriptures real quick. You know, the scripture even says in the book of Proverbs, you have that first scripture. It says, diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good. In other words, God cares. And I know this isn't relating to that statue that they had. In fact, what this is applying to how they conducted and did business back then, that sometimes people would cheat other people and put false weight or false things on there, and they would sell it to get a higher price than what it really was. And God said, I don't like that. Do things right. Do things fair. I'm a just God. The next one is this. It says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. There's some people that you can't convince. They think they're right. But it says this, but the Lord weighs the heart. Whoa, who can say that? God weighs. Now, I'm not saying that he like says, okay, Caleb, your heart is 2 pounds. No. In other words, God sees the heart. He sees the intention. He can judge. See, man judges from the outside. God judges from the inside. And he sees, and he says, to do righteous and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Next scripture is this. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. The justice of God. Somebody say, the justice of God outweighs the judgments of men. See, that's why David said, whenever he was being judged for his sin, he said this. He said, Lord, I pray that I do not fall into the hands of man when it comes to my judgment. He said, Lord, let me fall into your hands. David said that. I don't want to fall into man's hands, God. I want to fall into your hands. Because you know me and you see me and you are a God who is rich in mercy. Because yes, God is a God of justice, but let me tell you, God is also a God of mercy. In fact, the scripture says in the book of James, it says that God's mercy can triumph over his justice. Think about this for a second. God had every right from the fall of man, from Adam and Eve to Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, to David. God had every right as a just God to step in and say, I'm going to demolish, I'm going to destroy Adam, Eve. I'm wiping you out. Moses, I'm taking you out. Abraham, David, I'm taking. God had the right to do it, but his mercy stepped in. The scripture says that God shows mercy on those that he shows mercy. The scripture says that his mercies are new every morning. You want to know why God showed mercy on all those people? You want to know why God let mercy reign in those moments? Because it was all leading to Jesus, who came from that lineage. It was all, in other words, it was a God saying, I'm going to make things right. I'm a God of justice, but I'm a God of mercy. Because let me tell you, I felt like the Holy Spirit gave this to me. There is no better picture of God's justice and God's mercy than Christ on the cross. Check out this picture right here. Because when Christ was on the cross, the full justice and wrath of God was poured out on him. For he who knew no sin, what? Became sin. So that way you and I could become the what? Righteousness of God. Who knows? Jesus shouldn't have hung up on that cross. That should have been me that hung up on that cross. Because let me tell you, the scripture says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And the devil has brought forth evidence time and time again, saying, God, they've turned away from you. God, they're stuck in that addiction. God, they're stuck in that sin. God, they're stuck in that cycle. And even now, the devil tries to remind and tell God and say, look at them. You don't, they don't, they're not worthy of your love. They're not worthy. And many of us, we believe the lie of the enemy. And we say, God, I'm not worthy of it. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve your mercy. I don't deserve any of this. God, you blessed me. You've taken care of me and my family. You don't deserve it. But thank God for his mercy, because here's what happens. As God's justice was poured out on Christ, simultaneously, God's mercy and grace was poured out on man. It's almost as if God put on the blindfold. And when we stand before a pure and a holy and righteous God, and we should be going down to hell and we should be getting what we deserve, it's almost like God chooses, you know what? I know, but I choose to forget, because they have placed their faith in my son. They have repented of their sins. They are a new creation. All former things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What am I trying to say? Stop living in condemnation. Stop living in fear. Stop living in shame. God's mercy and grace is sufficient. God's justice was poured out on Christ. And because of what Jesus Christ has done, oh, come on, somebody. I'm telling you, his mercy is sufficient. Jesus didn't come to give you what you deserve. He came to give you what he deserves. Come on, can we stand to our feet today? Here's my conclusion I want to give you. God's justice and mercy is shown through Jesus. God's justice and mercy is shown through Jesus. Romans 3 says it like this. I don't have time to read it all, but I'll read the latter part. It starts at the beginning and says that we've all been charged, Jew and Gentile, we're all guilty. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And then it says what I said a second ago. It says, this was to show God's righteousness. Another word you could say it is God's justice, because you can't separate God's righteousness from justice. It says, because in his divine forbiddance, he passed over, somebody say passed over. He passed over former sins. In other words, he passed over all those things like we talked about. His mercy was there, but it was poured out on Christ. And it says it was to show his righteousness at the present time. Get this. What was the last thing that we read in the parable that we read? God said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find anyone of faith? It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and a justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Question today, is there anybody in this place that has faith in Jesus? Is there anybody in this place that believes in what Jesus Christ has done in his death and his burial and his resurrection? Does anybody believe that Jesus Christ, he is the Messiah? He wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just a good prophet. He didn't just come to bring good morals, but he is the Son of God. He is God in flesh. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the Lamb of the Most High God. He is the Savior of the world, and he died on the cross to save you and redeem you and purchase you and restore you. Let God fight your battle. Let God be the judge of your life. Don't give in to what other people think or say. Trust into what the Lord says. Come on, can we raise our hands in this place? Can I pray right now? Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this word. God, you are our God. If you're in this place and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, make this prayer and commitment. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in who you are. I place my faith in who you are. I believe that you died. I believe that you rose. I believe that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, today is the day of my salvation. I repent. I turn towards you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. So God, right now, I pray right now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord, that your justice will prevail, that you provide justice and mercy for all, that you are the God of, you are the King of kings and you are the Lord of lords. We praise you today. Come on, can we raise our hands and worship him in this place?
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe and share it with a friend. For more information about who we are, visit RiversideChurchTX.com.